Het ons enige ooms en tannies en oupas en oumas wat kom carry vir die vakantie so ver? Enige iemand hier? Nog nie, hulle kom seker vir Kersdag, ja. Okay. So, this is the last official message for the year, preach of the year, Roland, and quite a few is at Corlea and Tian May's weekend away, where they got married yesterday. So that's very, very exciting. So we're looking forward to Wednesday, the Christmas production. Please invite everyone, you know. We're going to be handing out pamphlets, put it in your neighbor's post box, wherever. We're really, really trusting for a great, great turnout. Last year, if I don't know if you remember, those who were here, we had to put out extra 5-6 chairs, rows of chairs. So we are very, very excited about that. Yeah. So, Anu Domini stands for AD. It is something that is so significant. It's something that is so spectacular and special that it defines the very time that we are living in. What am I referring to? I'm referring to the calendar. Whenever someone says AD, they're referring to Anu Domini, which means in the year of the Lord. Something spectacularly have happened 2,000 years ago. And I would like to at the birth of Jesus this morning. And at the back of that, I want to put three questions to us. And that is, do we receive Jesus for who he is in our life? We're going to be receiving lots of presents, or hopefully we're going to be receiving a present or two on Christmas Day. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we receive him? Do we receive this? Do we receive him as our king? Because sometimes we feel we cannot receive him. Sometimes we feel we need to work for him. Sometimes we feel we don't deserve him. It might be works, it might be religion, but he wants us to receive him now, this morning, over this time in 2020. And the second question that I want to put to us in the end, and I will repeat it then, is to follow then him as our king, as our Lord, having received him as our Lord and Savior, and following him. And then thirdly, being so excited that we tell our friends and we tell everyone about Jesus. Amen. So that's what I would like to focus on this morning. There's first a short video clip. So you guys, you must look carefully because there's a little taste afterwards. All right, Natalie, go for it.
Hail. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee.
So Mary didn't know that she was having a baby.
So Mary was sitting on stairs, and then Heavenly Father told Mary that she was going to have a baby.
And so Joseph, he was going to Bethlehem with his wife Mary, and she was pregnant with Jesus.
They rode a boat?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a camel.
Maybe it was a horse.
They ride it on a donkey.
And when they got there, all the inns were full because tons of people were going to all these cities, and, you know, there's lots of road traffic.
There was no room in the inn, though.
They said all our rooms are full, but there is a stable you guys could sleep in.
And that's where she had Jesus.
Babies are normally born in the hospital.
And he was not born in a hospital, he was born in a manger. It's the place where animals live.
There were sheep, camels.
There's zebras and horses and cows and all those things.
I don't think it'd be fun.
It probably wouldn't be very clean. There'd probably be lots and lots of bugs.
I don't think it would be very comfy.
It was made out of sticks, and a huge star was above it to tell people to follow it and to go under it. That's where Jesus would be born.
So the shepherds, they were out, you know, watching their sheep to make sure no wolves came and ate them. And an angel came down to them, and they were all scared because imagine if you were in a field and all of a sudden, like, a bright white light, and there's, like, a person floating down towards you. I imagine it would be pretty surprising. An angel told them to not be afraid.
Fear not.
And told him that Jesus was going to be born, and so he wanted him to go see him.
So wise men and some other people came to visit him?
Wise man brand him three gifts.
Gold, mirth, and Frankenstein.
Gold draped him, sense and mirth.
He's special, and so it was a special day on that day.
He's special because he's the king, and he's very good.
He made it so that we could repent and go to heaven again.
And that he sacrificed, since he sacrificed his life for us to come down on earth, I feel like that he really loves all of us, and like, it's just amazing that he did that.
That can't be all of it. There was nothing about Santa Claus in that. Did he play everything? Okay, that can't be it. So guys, what do you think? Any thoughts? So anything that stood out that you want to maybe say, or the children. I'm talking to the children now. Yeah. Anything that stood out for you? Over there. Yeah.
And because Jesus always by you and he watch you and he love you.
So much that he gave his only son, eh? That's beautiful, Samuel. Ja. Enig iemand anders? Iets wat uitgestaan het? Yes. I see the hand.
This was not planned. I forgot what I was going to say now.
Okay, no problem. Right, yeah. So, guys, I felt so inspired by the reading the story of Jesus' birth. You know, I mean, just imagine, they were on a horse on their way to New York, being, you know, wanted to go for a census, being counted. What? Sorry? How do you know? It was the donkey. Okay, so they went onto a donkey on the way to New York because they were being counted. Sorry? Bethlehem. All right. Sure, you guys. Yeah. Anyway, the donkey on the way to Bethlehem. So they were going to the Holiday Inn. So apparently, did I get it wrong again? Okay. They wanted to go to an inn, huh? So Holiday Inn. They wanted to go to the Holiday Inn. Lo and behold, on the way to being counted, because Augustus, you know, he decreed at the time that they need to do a census, which means that everyone needs to be counted, right? And they went to Bethlehem because that was the place of Joseph originally, where he was born. So he had to go back to that place to be counted. They didn't plan to go there. They had to go there because Augustus decreed that they need to go there. But on the way there, lo and behold, Mary felt that Jesus is coming because she was pregnant with Jesus. So unexpected, they had to go to a Holiday Inn. But there were no place available, and they had to go somewhere else. I felt so inspired, actually, by the story that I thought, I'll write a poem. Yes. Herod was scared. Roman soldiers declared. Pilate washed his hands. Caiaphas made demands. Satan offered all to bow in exchange for a leap from the temple brow. Frankincense, gold, and myrrh he received, confirming his calling, his destiny. The blind, cripple, rich and poor, kings, slaves, short and tall, tax collectors, sinners and all, at his feet they fall. Much to Pharisees' dismay, even the wind and the waves obey. Why was Herod the Great so scared? What exactly did the Roman soldiers declare? What threat did this man hold other than 300 prophecies foretold? Did the star not confirm? Did angels not praise? Three wise men not indicate? Did the dove not descend? This is my son, the father said. Tombs could not hold him. Death could not destroy him. Hates of man could not deter him. The devil could not lure him. The Pharisees could not outsmart him. You see, Herod was scared, for a king was declared. King of the Jews, the psalm later would read, laying bare the love of the Father for you and for me. So I went, quit my day job. So, Matthew 2, you can bring up the scripture of Matthew 2. This is our key passage, and those who are making notes, it's King of the Jews. King of the Jews is the message. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, apparently not New York, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, which is the three wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Do you believe him? After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with a gift of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Do you believe King Herod? Do you think he really wanted to give praise and gifts to Jesus? I don't think so. I want to focus a little bit on King Herod. He did a lot of things, great things, and I'll elaborate on that now. I'll explain it just now. But in verse 3, it says that he was disturbed. Disturbed is a big word. Troubled, he was concerned, he was scared. The poem said Herod was scared. Because you know what? When Jesus wants to be the king of your heart, king of your life, he wants you to step down from your throne. And he wants to be all and everything in our life. King Herod didn't want to do that. And it's quite interesting as we read there. At first, he didn't know it was the king of the Jews, the Messiah. For all he knew, it was just another king. And there were many kings. There were many kingdoms. And the fact, let alone that it was the king, he just felt so insecure about the fact that there is another king that he was troubled. And there are two times in the Bible where people were so disturbed. If you look at the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek. And that was when Jesus was reclining at the table during the Last Supper, and he knew that his time is coming close. to go to the cross, and he will be betrayed. And at that time, he was disturbed. He felt disturbed. So it's a very strong, a serious being disturbed and trouble. And the other time was when John the Baptist's dad was speaking to an angel, and he felt alarmed and disturbed and scared. So there are only a few occasions in the New Testament where people were so scared. And King Herod was really, really scared because someone's going to take his kingdom away from him. And don't we sometimes feel threatened if someone wants to take the limelight? We did something and we can't get any recognition or credit for it. Because we want to be praised and acclaimed. And Herod wanted to be praised and acclaimed for a lot of things. And you know what? He's known for a lot of great things, even today. Have you seen the pictures of Jerusalem? People praying at a wall, this big wall. Well, King Herod actually renovated the second temple. And Uncle Donnie, actually, he preached on there in Nehemiah the other day. And it's that very temple that King Herod decided he's going to make pretty, he's going to make it grand, he's going to make it extravagant, and he wanted to make everything extravagant because he wanted people to remember him. And we still remember him 2,000 years after the buildings that he built. He did a lot of things. But he was a cruel king because he had two of his sons murdered. He felt so scared and insecure that he felt that they're going to take over his kingdom. The Romans of the day, they actually gave him the title King of the Jews. It's not something that the people put on him. It's what the Romans put on him. So he felt very, very scared that someone else is now going to be the king of the Jews. There's a interesting for the grown-ups. 70 AD, Jerusalem was falling and the writing was on the wall. And there was a group of zealots, Jewish zealots, and they were defending a fortress called Masada. And for 2 years, they actually were standing against the Roman soldiers. And then eventually, the Roman soldiers break through their defenses, not because of a lack of water or food or anything, because King Herod was actually the one that built the fortress. And he built two palaces on Masada. And there were an intricate water system that he built over there, houses that he built. So King Herod is known for a lot of good things, but also for some negative things. If we read Isaiah 60, we read that. So we're not going to go and read it now, but Isaiah 60, please read it at home. It will basically explain that Jesus is coming at a very, very bad time in the life of the Jews. It was dark. There was a lot of oppression. King Herod and the Roman soldiers, they were oppressing the people. But you know what? It didn't stop Jesus. And a lot of times you're going to feel that you are being stopped around every bend. And if there was ever a reason for Jesus not to continue the plan from the get-go, it would have been King Herod, because he had a lot of influence. Yet God foreknew it and he planned it, and Joseph and Mary got wind of it, or the angel told them in a dream, and they fled to Egypt till after King Herod passed away. And then his son Antipas was actually in charge. And then they went to Nazareth instead. Interesting fact, just for the grown-ups. So guys, can you tell me what is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Anyone? Old Testament, the children. And, right, are you going to, you know what you want to say?
Yes, I know what I'm going to say. The Old Testament, Jesus wasn't born yet. In the New Testament, it's about when Jesus during his lifetime and everything after Jesus was born.
Good. Yes. Right. So, there is a couple of prophecies that was done in the Old Testament proving that Jesus was at the right time. He came at the right time. He came at the right place. It was ordinated. It was anointed. It was appointed. And I would like to look at some of those. Natalie, maybe you can put up the first one. Right, the first one is lineage. So if I were to say, you must prove to me that you are your father and your mother's daughter, how are you going to do that? If you were to prove that? Anyone? If I were to ask you to prove that you are your father, your parents' child, how are you to do that? No? Yes. Do we know you? We don't. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, yes, here we go.
Birth certificate, blood test. Birth certificate and all blood.
Great. So this is kind of like a birth certificate. And this is really meant for the Jews. Because you'll notice that Mark is not phased at all, you know, to give the lineage of Jesus. Because Mark's audience was not the Jews. Matthew's audience is the Jews. So was Luke. So and that's why the accounts and the lineage of Christ is being portrayed and given here. Because Matthew wanted to make a point. He wanted to say, hey, look, Jesus is legit. He comes from the right bloodline. And he's making the point that it was prophesied for Abraham and Isaac and the house of King David and from Jesse's loins, that Jesse is King David's dad, that there will be a savior, there will be a Messiah. And the first prophecy we see is that he is from the true bloodline, the true lineage. In the New Testament, we see there, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the father of Isaac, and so forth. So what he's saying is, Jews, you know the Old Testament. You know, you've read it. This is that. And immediately, he's pointing them to what was prophesied. This is the person. Number two. The virgin birth. Old Testament, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And in the New Testament, Matthew 1:20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks about big word, imperishable seed and imperishable seed. In other words, there's a seed that dies and there's a seed that will not die. And that's it, why it's important that Jesus was born not from Joseph, but that he was born from God. Because what happened when Jesus died after that? Was he resurrected again? Did he stand up out of a grave again?
He died on the cross.
Then?
Then God let go of the cross.
That's right, he got off the cross. Great. He was of an imperishable seed, a seed that will not die. Yes, you don't know. Hey, you guys are starting to get active here.
Jesus died for us.
That's right. It is a promise that we are holding on to. Samuel. Praise God for that. The next one. The next prophecy. The place of birth. Not New York, but Bethlehem. It was prophesied. The next one. Being worshipped and being given gifts. And it was custom that a king would give to another king gifts. So we're not going to read everyone. We can just pass through to the next one. To fly to Egypt. It was prophesied. So we think it's by chance that we think it's by chance that unfortunately there was an event where lots of children died. And Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt because their lives were in danger. But actually it was prophesied. Okay. And this is the event that I'm talking about. So when King Herod realized that the three wise men deceived him and they're not coming back to him to say where Jesus is born, he got so cross that he said, you know what, in all of Bethlehem, all the boys 2 years and younger, he's going to have killed. It's very, very sad. But that's actually how cruel and nasty King Herod was. It was prophesied. And he will be called Lord. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Who wants to be saved? Who is not saved? Who is not saved? Everyone can answer this question. Well, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It said. So, those who raise their hands, can the mommies and poppies please follow up with that at home, please? Son of God, he will be called the Son of God. Next one. The time of his coming, the fact that there will be a Savior was prophesied in Genesis 49 already. Okay? And then a king. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end, and he will reign. All right. So lots of prophecies explaining that Jesus came at the right time, at the right place, for you and for me. All right. So guys, when you're going to receive gifts, if you are going to receive a gift or two in Christmas, then there's something that we need to remember, and that is that Jesus is giving us gifts. And actually, he wants us to receive those gifts. So I'm going to ask someone to come to the front. So matter of fact, I want you guys to come. So I know there's more than 10 here, but I've got other sweeties as well. So I've got, here we go. Yeah, all right. If you can do that. So I need 10 to come to the front. Okay, right. The first 10, all right, okay. So, okay, all right. Just stand a little bit back, right? Okay. Is there 10 here? Leon, help me, please. Yeah. 10. So you might have to share with someone else. Okay, so you can stand with someone, a friend, if you want. Okay, right, okay. Then you can, each of you can take a little bag, okay? And then where the brothers and sisters are standing together, you can take one bag, go for it. But stay in front, remain in the front here, okay? Here's another one. Yeah. Right. And then for the rest that didn't get, you can take and pass on. All right? We don't want to overlook anyone. You can stay in front, eh? Stay in front. All right. Okay. Great. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. So, who's got, you guys first. What number do you have on your bag? You've got number 4. Oops, and that's fine. Hold it. You can take out. You can take this out. What does this say? That says salvation. Titus 2:11. It's number four, Natalie. Number four. Great. Okay, here we go. There's a little sweetie in there. Right, so you guys can go sit down. All right. So that's number four. It says salvation. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So that is a gift. So Jesus brought a gift for us, and that is called salvation. Salvation is a big word. It means that we are saved. So imagine that you are swimming and you're starting to drown, and then Jesus comes and saves you. So we're not aware of it, or maybe we don't realize it, but we were actually busy drowning. And Jesus came to save us. And that's a gift. It's a gift for us today, and it's something that we must treasure, and it's something that we mustn't forget. It's something that we must receive every day and hold dear to our heart. Who's next? Who wants to? Here we go. Okay. So you've got number one. That's only number one. And what does this say? It says Jesus. That's a good one. Right. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So that's a gift. The Father gave Jesus. Isn't that an amazing gift? And then also John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who wants to be a child of God? Well, we need to receive him. All right, who's next? All right, here we go. Okay. Cool. That's number six. Natalie, number six. And the gift here that Jesus is giving us is we are a gift to one another. You can put that back in there. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. So we are a gift to one another. All right. Who's next? So if you had your turn, then you can go sit down. All right. Okay, yeah, Leon, I'm going to need your help here. Okay, this is number nine. Number nine, Natalie. And this is a big one. Justification. Justification. Justification, thank you very much. Sit down. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Justified means that it's a correction. It's a correction. In Afrikaans praat het van vrygespreek. Ons is vrygespreek. It means that we are acquitted. It makes for the grown-ups. So it means that we are made innocent before Jesus and in Jesus. And it's a gift that he's giving us. All right, here we go. This is number seven. It sounds like bingo, eh? Number seven. Who's got number seven? All right. Holy Spirit gifts. Here we go. Number seven. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's a gift that is given to us. It's not special, especially during this time of year, that we must treasure and appreciate the gifts that we have been given. Right, good. Number two. And the gift here is eternal life. Eternal life. It's a great one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you know, guys, the sad thing is, you know, you can spend eternal life in heaven, or you can spend it in hell. And that's a reality. And, you know, one shouldn't sugarcoat it at all. And I would rather want to spend eternity with Jesus, eh? Right. Who's next? Okay. Number three. And the gift over here is grace. Now, that's a beautiful one. Thank you. Great. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. We don't deserve it. And that's what's so special. Jesus died for us because we don't deserve it. It was not by works. But there still needs to be a response, which we're going to look at now. Grace. Number 10. Inheritance. Also quite a big word, eh? So inheritance means that we're getting something when your folks passes away, which we hope doesn't happen. But we have an inheritance in Christ. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And we are part of his family. We are part of the, and we will, there will be an inheritance for us because we've been grafted in. The word says grafted means you take one plant and you put it into another and they become one. And we are tapped into him, into the source of life. Right, almost there. Number five. You guys are doing well. The Holy Spirit. Oh, this is a special one. The Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Thank you very much. It's a gift. It's a gift, guys. Right. Last but not least, number eight. And the gift over here is righteousness. Righteousness. Thank you. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? A lot of big words says, but you know what it says? It means that God is covering you with a blanket. And he says, you know what? I don't see your sin. I don't see that. You are my child, and I look at you, and you are pure, and you are beautiful. You know, it doesn't mean that we must stay in sin. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that through Jesus, we've been covered. By grace, we've been covered. And it's a blanket. It's a cloak of righteousness, it means. That we've been made righteous. We're now in right standing. We can, in other words, the priests of old, in the Old Testament, Uncle Roland would have preached this before, that the priest, they would have dragged him out if there was sin in him and God didn't approve. And there were little bells on him. And the bell stopped moving. Then I know that he probably fell dead and I would pull him out. So in other words, no ordinary man could really get before God. You know, go into the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus, we've been covered by his righteousness. And now we can. We can stand in the holies of holies. Right, guys? Well, amazing gifts that we've been given. Something that I would like us to ponder on over this time, but not only this time, but every day of our life. And the response is, do we receive these gifts? Do we truly receive these gifts? What is the daily application of Jesus' birth and him dying on a cross? Is there a reality in this? Is it things that we are moving in or want to grow in, want to mature in as a church? Is it something that we receive? Because sometimes we feel we cannot receive. We don't deserve. The second thing is, once we have made a decision to receive him, to walk in him, to worship him, that he is our Lord, and we follow him. And then thirdly, we tell other people about it, because we cannot keep quiet. Look at all these amazing gifts that he's given to us. How can we keep quiet about it? He wants to give his gifts to everyone. But sadly, not everyone's got these gifts. A lot of children is relying on a man in a red suit. And I'm not referring to Julius Malema. And unfortunately, that is not what Christmas is about. And we know that we are celebrating the birthday of Jesus. And we're celebrating the gifts that he received and that he's giving to us today. Amen. Thank you, Donnie.
Sure. Little one.